It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy game day, everybody. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And of course, because it is a game day Monday, this is also the Catholic Health Extra Point Show on Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. It is, of course, game day, Josh. We are here on Facebook Live, so if you want to hang out with us there as well, good morning. It is gloomy as hell outside. Doesn't look like it's going to rain, though.
Vibes are
game
high.
Day.
Vibes are high.
Vibes are okay.
Hey,
it's 10 in the morning, and I've got the game at 7:30. We've still got a while to go.
We're going
to
find out what the weather does later on in the show, as we have Patrick Hammer on with us at 11:30. We got Sal coming up at 10:30. Mm-hmm. Do some last minute injury stuff.
Report.
Just talking about the game coming up and everything like that.
Was it pass interference, Sal? Coming up at 10:30.
I think anyone could tell you that it was.
It was pass interference.
We also have a doubleheader today. Sabres play tonight, 5:00.
I thought you were going to say it's doubleheader. We have Cincinnati and Washington tonight.
Oh no! The more important doubleheader
is
the Sabres play
there
tonight at 5:00 against the Columbus Blue Jackets, another Ohio team. Rasmus Dahlin back at practice today, which was
back at practice.
Very good to see. But, yeah, so Buffalo doubleheader today, doubleheader on Monday Night Football. You got the Bengals and Commanders at 8:15.
Yep, they're at the normal Monday Night Football time.
Everything that's promoting these games says 15 minutes before kickoff because of the pregame show and all that. And
well, remember, the Bills actually kick off at 7:15, not 7:30.
Right.
They shouldn't be allowed to do that. And it bothers me so much.
It's confusing because everyone, like, I had like four calls this morning. I'm like, is it 7:15 or 7:30? And I was like, I think 7:15.
7:30.
I don't know. It says 7:15. And then it's like, nope, it's 7:30. It's like,
yep.
Oh, cool. Great. Thank you for confusing everyone.
It's the best. I can deal with Sunday night games.
Right.
There's a part of me that can also deal with Thursday night games.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like Monday night games.
Really?
I do not like the tension that I feel constantly.
Oh, because you're waiting.
It's the wait.
Right.
Thursday night. Boom, we're the first game. We open the week up. Sunday night, you're kind of watching football all Sunday. You know, the fun song of you've been waiting all day for Sunday night. It makes sense. It works. It's fine. What have you. Monday night, I've got to do a whole other sleep. And then the work day.
You don't have football to watch.
Play.
You don't have football to watch all day. You just have to work somehow.
I'm finding myself in a weird spot, Josh, because like I'm somebody, I mentioned it with Sal last week, and we've talked about it a lot too. I'm somebody that does lean into like the historical aspect of like the Bills hate playing the Jaguars. The games get funky really fast.
They don't hate playing the Jaguars. The Jaguars just have a voodoo doll of something with Buffalo that makes them win every time. It's crazy.
Either way, I hate it. And I don't enjoy playing the Jaguars. I don't like their uniform combos either, so I don't find it all that aesthetically pleasing.
The only thing I like is the leaping Jaguar logo that they brought back. Like
that's cool.
That's cool, but
that's
like
fine.
Everything else is like, what are you doing?
I want out.
Get
and
better.
Now that it's a Monday night game, I found myself last night watching a little bit of the Atlanta Falcons and Kansas City Chiefs play. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, I've got so long to go.
I have 24 hours to wait still.
I've still got so long to go.
I will say it's big that it's at 7:30.
Well, yeah, instead of the normal 8:15, 8:30.
Yeah, like, even though it's only 45 minutes, that makes a big difference in terms of being able to go to sleep at a somewhat normal time.
Well, I know Jeremy was talking, too, about, putting the kids to bed.
Yeah, right.
And that whole sleep schedule, that's fun, quote unquote, to deal with. But I'm at a point. I'm like, let's go. Let's hurry this up. I'd be all for Monday night games, 10 in the morning. Let's go. That's when we're playing.
So Monday morning games?
Monday morning games. We are doing European games.
Everyone's at work?
No, just we have off.
Oh, it's a national holiday.
It's like a national holiday. The Monday night games become Monday morning games, and we all just play it then.
This is how you do the doubleheader. 10 a.m., and then whenever that game's over, boom, you start the second game.
There we go.
There's your doubleheader. Or you can do a tripleheader. 10 a.m., 1 p.m.
I will tell you, I don't like the doubleheaders. To me, it defeats the purpose of Monday Night Football.
Oh, the prime
time. Of kind of that,
right.
the mystique and the prestige of it. It used to be the premier primetime game. I think Sunday has kind of overtaken it. Now it's like you got two of them going. A neutral fan is going to jump probably in between the two of them. One's on ABC, one's on ESPN. Of course, us being Bills fans and covering the Bills, we're going to stick with the Bills game the entire time.
Right, yeah.
But to me, like, that's where it defeats the purpose of just...
Well, but also, too, I wonder how much you're going to get the double box of, oh, look what just happened
in
the Bengals-Commanders game. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm watching the Bills game. I want that when I'm watching Red Zone. I don't want that when I'm watching my team's game.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Like, even before, like, I was working the games... When the Bills were on, I didn't watch Red Zone. That's why, like,
right.
A big part of it was why I didn't buy it. It was like, the Bills don't play at 4 o'clock. They don't really play many primetime games.
It's the exact opposite.
Now it's the opposite where, like, I'm, like, looking through the schedule and I'm like, all right, well, you know, Baltimore's a Sunday night game. Okay, like, so we're going to have, you know, kind of an open window there. Okay, Houston's a 1 o'clock game. The Jets are Monday night game. I'm just going through it. So, like, it makes more sense to have it now, but.
Houston being 1 o'clock is just insane.
Are they any good? Are they any good?
Are the Vikings good is the real question.
I kind of wanted to jump in that a little bit later, but we can do that now. Just like watching the games yesterday, including the Chiefs, I find myself not really thinking anyone is all that good.
I
don't think there's a great team in the NFL.
Well, it goes back to the conversation we were having last week about the whole thing with the two high safeties and everything that's changing on defense. It's affecting offenses, and it's making the league – it's not making them look bad, but it's making offenses look like they have to figure something out that's different. Which they haven't had to do for the past 4 or 5 years.
Sure. And, I mean, like, if you had a great quarterback and like any like solid receivers, you were fine.
But I think that that's part of the reason why it all looks bad. It's really not. It just looks that way because of the fact that the defenses are so much different this year. And I'm not saying that it's just because of the two high safety. It's a lot of other contributing factors of just superstar players being on defense now. Because, I mean, it's starting in the college level. Look at... A guy like Travis Hunter, he plays both sides of the ball. He's good on both sides of the ball.
So good.
And that looks great. And there's guys around the league that are superstars on defense. One of them that the Bills are going to see tonight that's kind of a rising star is Josh Hines-Allen. But again, two, 3 years ago when the Bills played the Jags and it was the 9-6 game, Allen was all over Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not the Bills Allen that was all over.
No.
It was the Jaguars. Josh Allen was very good that game, and he hasn't gotten worse. He's gotten better.
He's gotten better, yeah.
So, but again, you look at all of these players, and I think that's affecting what we're perceiving as quote-unquote good football. Because there is still very much...
Oh, no, don't get
like,
me wrong.
Good,
I'm enjoying
good games
this.
And
I'm,
good moments. I mean, even the Giants yesterday. I mean... Malik Nabers.
I feel like that's way more in Cleveland, too. Like, I think Nabers
is
great.
But, I mean, Cleveland's defense, though, that's not... They're no slouch. I mean,
No.
Miles
Garrett that was one of the best units in football last year.
So, Miles Garrett is insane. But...
Left with an injury, though, too.
Fair. But my point there being is, even though you have what's looked at as bad football, it's really... Not.
Well,
it's
just in disguise. I don't think it's been bad football. I just genuinely don't believe there's any great teams in the NFL.
Right. There's good teams, not great teams.
Like,
I mean,
even San Francisco, who many would argue is maybe the most talented team,
right.
The moment their top player gets hurt, it's all downhill.
They have no depth, yeah.
Kittle is so instrumental to their run game. And when he's out, they look like a completely different roster. And the Rams, who are injured to hell, like not the surface level stuff that some of these other teams are, I mean, legitimately just wounded all across the board. Stunningly beat the 49ers. You have the Eagles who, where would they be without Saquon Barkley? Honestly.
Right, yeah.
Where would they be without him? Probably 1-2 at best. I don't even know if you beat Green Bay.
Here's
with Love going down.
Here's the superlative I think you could do for every single team in the NFL right now, except for a few ones that are just flat out bad.
The Raiders.
Well, the Raiders, yes, and the Bears. The Bears, what's happening?
Shane Waldron. The Panthers. The Panthers, we're starting Andy Dalton from day one.
Andy Dalton is good. The Panthers are not.
The only quarterback so far this year to have 300 yards and 3 touchdown passes in the game.
The Panthers organization is not good.
That's fair. Maybe.
But my overall synopsis, I think, for the entire league, and you could maybe put the Bills in this too, depending on how tonight goes. Every team is just super inconsistent. Every single one of them. I mean, there's teams that they'll go out there and they'll get at least two touchdowns and it'll be a somewhat close game. Or you know their defense will go out there and be good, but everything else is just a coin flip and you have no idea what's going to happen. And to be fair, that's how a lot of sports is. But it's kind of weird when it feels like every single team is having the same problems in terms of consistency.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, look, the 49ers, they're injured. And, oh, yeah, their offense doesn't look very good, but their defense is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, the Cowboys, they can't stop the run, but their offense is still kind of there with CeeDee Lamb.
My goodness, can they not stop the run?
464 yards over two games.
What a useless defense.
Crazy.
I mean, you kind of like were getting yourself back into that game somewhat, but just never a chance. Awful.
I saw that number this morning on ESPN, and I could not believe what I was seeing.
One time in my life, 464 rushing yards in two games. One time in my life, I actually root for the Dallas Cowboys because I kind of just wanted to see like what would happen if Baltimore did start 0-3, especially with Buffalo going to them next week. I was kind of interested in just how that would play out. I know for me, though, personally, I was like, I can't see Baltimore going to 0-4. So like, it made like tonight feel more important, but... yeah, just Dallas' defense, atrocious. I mean, a complete train wreck.
What's Micah Parsons going to do?
He's alone, man. He's more of a pass rusher. He's not really a run stopper, and apparently no one else on the team is. They're atrocious. They're so bad.
Well, I just mean, what's he going to do for his contract?
I don't know. Ask for everything? That's what I would do, stake in ownership. That feels right. That feels good.
Yeah, but are they going to look at him and say, well, you're not doing anything. You're not doing it on the run.
Okay. Who else is?
I mean, listen, we're talking about Jerry Jones here. Like, you never know what he's going
to
say.
No, it's fair. That's on the NFC side of things, though. For the AFC, though, to kind of go to the point of there just does not feel like any elite teams. If Buffalo would win today, they'd be the third 3-0 team in the conference.
Yeah.
The others being Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh.
What kind of contract is Justin Fields about to get? That's the real question.
3 years, $30 million. He's not doing anything.
I know, but it's kind of questionable what's Pittsburgh going to do with him.
But so them and then Kansas City. And Kansas City, I don't think once has walked away convincingly.
No.
Week one, it's a toe away from losing to Baltimore against Cincinnati. It's a somewhat questionable pass interference call. I was for it. I understood it, but I could understand also arguments to not call it. And then last night against Atlanta, a very clear non-call on a defensive pass interference towards Kyle Pitts.
And they get kind of lucky on that fourth and inches, too. I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't like Bijan was close to getting the first down, but at the same time, it felt like the Falcons were not in control, but they were definitely a better team than they had looked in the past 2 weeks, especially against the Chiefs.
It looked like they'd taken that last drive from Philadelphia and it brought it back over.
Right, but then their last drive that ended in the fourth and inches kind of just was what Philadelphia did.
But like, if the Chiefs are 3-0, and I saw this on Twitter last night too, and I get it. It's like, you know, if this is their worst football, imagine where they're going to be in January. And I'm like, are we sure like they're definitively going to get better? I get it. We probably should give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm actively taking away my benefit of the doubt from the Eagles. I'm not doing that for the Chiefs. But
right, but the Eagles, like, that's a different story.
But I guess my thing is more like, We talk about progression all the time with players, but like, progression is not linear for teams either. The Chiefs could start 3-0 now and never really get better. Rashee Rice is amazing now. I think there's also a fair complaint of he's probably not playing next year. He's likely going to get suspended. He has a ton of felonies just kind of waiting to be figured out.
Yeah.
And then for their defense, Nick Bolton, I think, got hurt last night. Travis Kelce. We're back to retirement talks. That man is non-existent.
He's had six targets through three games, and I think he's only caught four of them.
Yep. Yeah. He has been non-existent.
Speaking of non-existent tight ends, Mark Andrews, real quick. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought of him. He is.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that one up.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But anyway, you were saying Worthy.
Likely's not even playing well either, but like, but Worthy. Great week one.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't really done much since.
Yeah.
And they're kind of desperate for a number two receiver with Hollywood Brown almost definitely out for the year.
Yeah.
He may come back for the playoffs. Not really sure on that. Isaiah Pacheco's down. They're now down to what? Carson Steele?
Kareem Hunt.
Is he still on the, did they elevate him, or is he
well,
still on the practice,
on the practice squad?
Squad?
But still, he's there.
He didn't play this week. I probably expect him to play next week.
Yeah. But you look at – but Worthy, I think, is maybe the perfect example of, I think, like, everyone was expecting, like, just, oh, man, two touchdowns in opening day. Here we go. Following that, Cincinnati, four targets, two catches, 17 yards.
Last night wasn't – or no, I'm looking at it in reverse order. Sorry. I looked at the Baltimore one.
I mean, you're right, though. Yeah. Against Atlanta, four targets, two catches, 17 yards.
Wow.
In terms of rushes against Cincinnati, one rushing attempt for 5 yards. Against Atlanta last night, three rushes for 13 yards.
No touchdowns.
So it's not like Worthy's lighting the league on fire. Like, no. I think everyone was anticipating him to do after week one.
He's clearly a part of their offense, but it's
not.
Is he? Well, in terms of, well, I guess, actually, yeah. I don't know.
That's my thing, is like, is he really? Mm. Are we sure? He kind of just seems to be like, well, you need to be here because we don't have Hollywood
right.
Brown. Kelsey's not doing anything, so we kind of need you. Pacheco's not even here anymore.
Yeah. Actually,
their offense is basically Mahomes drop back. Hey, where's Rashee Rice? He had 14 targets last night for 12 catches, 110 yards, and a touchdown.
Right. They're going to bring back Kadarius Toney?
No.
No, he signed somewhere.
No way.
He signed somewhere.
If that happens, I will have many questions for that front office, because that's just – that's bad. Like, he was really bad for them. And
he's with Cleveland.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah,
that's an interesting.
But
spot.
So, like, the Chiefs are sort of like the big kind of thesis to this whole thing, is that there's no real great teams. Mm-hmm. They're 3-0, and I would argue all three of their games, they're sitting there going, all right.
The Cincinnati one's the only one where you could maybe say they deserve to win.
But Cincinnati, I would say that Jamar Chase losing his mind on the field and costing his team 15 yards, and which could have been a game-clinching drive, is also kind of like, all right, like, just, you know, brush the sweat off your face. I get it.
Yeah.
The Chiefs held together better than Cincinnati. I get that. But it is also one of those things of like, man, if he just didn't freak out about – not really a hip point tackle. I mean, like, I think that's
a hip drop tackle. He was arguing it should have been a hip drop tackle, and it probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, so he's freaking out about kind of a non-call.
Right. It was very in the moment, though, of like, that looked like one, that felt like one. Like, what are you guys doing? And when you look back at it, it's close, but it's not.
So, I mean, you have that. Baltimore, of course, they drove right down the field, and likely if the man just wore size 10 shoes inside of 12,
right.
They won that game. And then last night, that's a defensive – that's pass interference.
Yeah, it's textbook pass interference. You're looking away from the ball, hugging the receiver as he's jumping over you.
You know, and it's where just, if I'm the Chiefs, I get giving them the benefit of the doubt and going, we're going to get better. Are you sure?
Because as you went through it, I mean, like I said, I was trying to argue that Xavier Worthy is – they're trying to make him a part of his part of their offense, but overall last night he got five touches of the football, two receptions on four targets, three rushing attempts. That's not really like he's a mainstay. He's not even a number two in that. And with those even just if he wasn't making catches, if he was getting targets, he's not like it's not a big part of that.
Yeah,
right. And that's where I look at a team like the Bills and what they've done in terms of who they target and how they spread the ball around and how they have changed things between the two games they played so far. And that's where I look at it. And I'm not trying to be biased here or try to, you know, sound like, oh, everything's perfect here in Buffalo. But if one guy doesn't – like if Curtis Samuel isn't there, which he hasn't been really,
I don't think
the offense doesn't falter. If Rashee Rice isn't there, the Chiefs – are done for.
Yeah, they got no options past Rice.
Yeah, and it's like you take out – obviously, you can't sit here and say, oh, well, if they don't have Mahomes, they're not good. Yeah, if the Bills don't have Allen, there's going to be problems.
Right? We're going to have different conversations.
If you look at all of the receivers the two teams have and you say you take away two of them, you could take away two of the Bills' receivers right now and their offense would still be fine tonight because you have James Cook, and depending on who you take away, you have Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel – like, there's a lot of options there, and they've all been, aside from Samuel, they've all been somewhat consistent.
It's been the argument, too, of, like, the Bills for a long time have not had a number two. They've had the clear-cut one in Diggs, and then afterwards it's been not even a hodgepodge. It's been very concerning past. You'd have one pop-off game from Gabe Davis, and then he would falter for a number of weeks. Where now it does kind of feel like week one, Keon Coleman leads the way in targets, receptions, and yards. Week two, it's Shakir. And ultimately for week two, they didn't throw the ball that much. They had short field. They had a lot of turnovers. They had a pick six in there as well. Cook was kind of able to run roughshod, especially because he had the one long run for a touchdown as well. You didn't really get to – I guess that's my thing too is up to this point, you've actually not had to see the Bills' offense have to flex their muscles. Because even in week one, and I mentioned this when we were going into the Miami game as well, the comeback was not the same as Miami's. By the first drive of the third quarter, it was a tie ball game. It, you know, ultimately, when they take the lead and then you have the kick return for a touchdown that kind of makes it a game, you take that away, or you've kind of gotten to the point where we're at now, where I think I heard Scott Hansen yesterday on Red Zone, 70% of kickoffs are going either out of the end zone or for touchbacks. Like, if you would have just done that, you're winning the game by like 14 points. You were already at an 11-point lead. And so that's where I'm comfortable with the Bills right now. I think if you would have asked us a month ago, you would have been looking at a number of these teams and going, we don't stack up that well offensively.
Yeah. Like, on paper, it looked really concerning.
Yeah, and as somebody, like, I liked the build. I liked it. I didn't love it. I liked the build going into this year. It was somewhat concerning I was looking at other teams and going, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know who I think maybe is the one great team in the NFL, honestly? Green Bay.
Yeah.
What they're doing with Malik Willis.
Right. He beats his old team.
Dominating with Malik. And they've changed up their offense entirely. I could argue them.
Yeah.
Imagine Minnesota maybe as well, but I'm still not totally sure there.
I'm so frustrated with them because I drafted Sam Darnold on my fantasy team just because.
And you keep benching him, man.
Why not? And I benched him because I'm like, you know what? He's going to be fine, but he's not going to be great. And 3 weeks, I should have played him all 3 weeks, and I probably would have won all three games. And I'm 0-3 because of my quarterback decision. So, hey, Minnesota, Sam Darnold, please keep it going. Keep it going.
No, don't.
Well,
we got their second round pick. This is getting frustrating. I was happy with the Houston win.
Yeah,
because like,
that in itself was another AFC team that has a lot of question marks, even though they've had a somewhat decent start to the season.
Yeah,
I mean, Houston is now 2-1,
and Stroud, I really don't think has played a great game yet. He's been pretty solid.
And they've also
Collins has looked like a monster.
Yeah, the two games they played before this against the Colts and the Bears, not, you know, amazing.
At the Colts now,
right?
And seeing how that week one. Well, I mean, that's the divisional rivalry. I get it, but the Colts have looked very lackluster, to say the least.
But you beat the Bears by 6 points. You beat the Colts by 2, and then you get blown out by the Vikings.
Yeah,
it just did not look good, and I wonder with Houston, I don't think it's a CJ Stroud problem. I don't really know if there's problems on the Texans. I think it's kind of just like
they're playing a tougher schedule.
But they also have to like kind of work it out, period. You know what I mean?
I will say their offensive line is a nightmare. What was it? Yeah. 4 straight offensive line or pre-snap penalties?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think 3 of them were on Lamry Tunsil. It was wild.
That's like your big question mark there with them. But, I mean, they have the weapons on offense. I think it's just going to take time for them to get it together. That's a team that I think will kind of emerge later in the season. Like how you were saying with the Chiefs they're fine now and they'll get better. That's what I think the Texans really are, is they're fine now, but they will get better as the season goes on. CJ Stroud might have a little bit of a sophomore slump, but I think with what they have there, it'll be better than what it looks like right now.
But I mean, honestly, you look at the Bills' schedule and it has somewhat, I don't want to say made you feel more at ease, but I look at it now like Jacksonville, 0-2, and they look terrible.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, when the schedule initially came out, yeah, of course you have the fears of it's Jacksonville, they don't play them particularly well, what have you.
Right.
I now look at them and I go, yeah, but their offensive line is bad. They've got an injury in the secondary.
Their biggest offensive production disaster. Is the biggest offensive producer has been their kicker.
Yeah, their offense is a joke, and it's at home. The vibes are feeling good with the Bills. They have two major injuries in Bernard, Johnson, and Milano.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw against Miami, they really figured it out, and then you gave them a long week to prepare.
Right,
and it seems like this is just setting up for potentially a really nice game for the Bills defense. Even though the Jaguars had their number. And then you just go on. You've got Baltimore for Sunday Night Football in Baltimore. They have not looked that great. I don't put much credibility into Dallas, Cleveland even, because I know Dallas had like a huge win over them. I don't put much credibility into that. That team just gives up running yards like it's going out of rushing yards like it's going out of style. I still think they look very susceptible, especially they're not getting anything out of Mark Andrews. Mm-hmm. It's you got to hope Zay right. Flowers, Derrick Henry, and Lamar Jackson are all in sync for that to even look good. Houston, as we've mentioned, I think they look very gettable. I don't think they've looked great up to this point. The Jets, cool, you have Aaron Rodgers. That is a static offense.
Yeah.
There's no movement. There's no motion. There's nothing. And cool. Good job. You beat a bad Patriots team who happened to beat a terrible week one team in the Cincinnati Bengals who just hates showing up on, like, what, the 15th of September to play football? They hate it.
They hate it.
Cincinnati is not a fan of it.
Can't stand it. Why do we start the football season that day?
They hate it.
Also, fun stat.
And then Tennessee.
Oh, sorry.
Who, I mean, like, Will Levis.
We got our Will Levis picture again yesterday. It was him trying to hurdle two defenders and just get his feet clipped, and he's on the ground.
Awful.
It's great.
And I'm not saying they're going to go undefeated here, but it as now we're through 3 weeks of games, with the last two being tonight, I do look at the Bills' schedule, and it happens every year. This is not like a new phenomenon of like, man, the schedule and everything we're thinking about has changed. This happens every year. Either it gets harder, easier, or it's like, oh, no, this is about what I thought.
Yeah.
There is some sort of understanding you come to rather early on, and for me it's just it feels like it's a bit easier than initially thought. Now some of these teams are going to get their injured players back, like they have the Rams much later in the year. They're probably going to have Kupp and Nacua back by that point, if not a lot of their offensive line as well. San Francisco probably going to have all of everybody back,
but that's coming off the Bills bye week, and depending on what's going on with Taron Johnson and Terrell Bernard, you might have those two back at that point.
Yep.
So and Matt Milano is still up in the air, but they did say initially December.
Yeah.
So, but
I'm feeling really good going into tonight, and I'm feeling good going forward with the Bills season.
Quick stat for you though.
Mm-hmm.
Fun one from the Jaguars.
Oh boy.
Who has the most total points on their team right now?
Who is their kicker's name?
Cam Little. He has 12 points across 2 weeks. Trevor Lawrence has 7.
Really?
Wow. Trevor Lawrence has 1 touchdown.
I mean, it took Caleb Williams until week 3 to throw his first touchdown pass.
Right, but this is Trevor Lawrence.
No, I know.
He's in his fourth year. Regardless, he's been in the league long enough where 2 weeks into the season, you should have more than 1 touchdown pass. And he's got 162 yards in the first game against Miami with 1 touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then in their game against Chicago in week 2, my computer freezes up on
me
here.
That's good.
No, it's great. He didn't have any touchdown passes. He had 220 yards, no touchdown passes.
I feel like this is a normal thing for Trevor Lawrence. Where he will go through runs where like his offense is so inept that just everything collapses.
Travis Etienne's looked good, though.
His rookie year, I remember, I think he had like an 11-game run of not throwing a touchdown pass.
It was something
along those lines.
Yeah, I remember that. But no, Travis Etienne, he's got almost 100 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. So not bad.
803-0550 is the number to call. How are we feeling going into tonight and the rest of the season? We're going to be joined by our own Sal Capaccio coming up after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
They start from the Giants 24. Deshaun Watson into the end zone. Touchdown on the first play from scrimmage, Amari Cooper.
That was basically the highlight for the Browns yesterday.
That was crazy, though. Like, that catch.
Oh, it's a great throw, great catch, and that's basically all the positives they had.
And then Malik Nabor said, cool, watch this, and yeah, did the same thing but better.
Do you think Giants fans, though, like, because of how recently OBJ was, that they're kind of like almost...
I was wondering the same thing.
Like, are they sitting here going, I saw this movie before, man. We're still going to be bad.
Now it'll really repeat itself if in 2 years they get a generational running back and
ruin him.
And ruin him, and then the wide receiver leaves at the same time.
Been an interesting weekend.
That'd be basically the same thing.
Oh, yeah. It's been an interesting weekend of football with two more games to finish out week three. Of course, the Bills taking on the Jaguars tonight at home. And we go now to the Western Hotline to get more of a look at tonight's game as our own Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning, my friend. How are we doing today?
Pretty good, guys. Happy game day.
Yeah, happy game day. How much football were you able to actually watch yesterday?
Quite a bit, actually. We had a little fall baseball game in the morning, and then I did a TV appearance for Channel 4, and then came home and watched pretty much most of the 1 o'clock games, you know, bumping around. You know, let me say this. I don't know how people do it. Like, holy cow, it's overwhelming trying to keep track of games. Normally at 1 o'clock, I'm, you know, at a game, Bills game. If the Bills played four, then, you know, getting ready for a game. But it's tough to keep up with what's going on. Like, what I do is I put Red Zone on one TV and then the game that's on the local cable on my computer or vice versa. And I just try to follow along. And then I have a tab on my computer screen where I put like all the scores going on around the league so I can kind of keep up with what's going on. And then, of course, you got to check fantasy football. All this is saying, how the heck do you people do it? I have no idea. I watched as much as I could. And then we had plans last night for dinner with friends. So I watched about probably the first quarter of the 4 o'clock games and then kind of wrapped up as we were out to dinner.
I feel that. So for me, a lot of it too was Sal yesterday. I was driving home from a wedding with my girlfriend and trying to have her, as I'm driving, set up all my like fantasy lineups and my best for the day. And then getting home and like just sitting on the couch and I'm like, I've got 10 minutes till the game starts. I made great time. And then by like 2, I was like, this is a lot. A lot is happening. So many things are going on. It can be exhausting, which is weird. It's a leisure activity for many of us.
Yeah, it's I know that people have talked a lot about, why doesn't the NFL do staggered starts? And I have no idea why they don't necessarily do it. It would help, though, because sometimes you're just caught up between, all these games are kind of third quarter, fourth quarter, relatively around the same time. Not always. They're coming down to the end. You know, there were like three games at 1 o'clock all kind of coming down. You had the Giants and Browns, the Bears and Colts, and the Eagles and Saints all kind of coming down to the end at the same time. So Red Zone, they put like the 3 box up, which is fine. But, you know, if we had staggered starts in every 15 minutes, maybe for the 1 o'clock windows or something like that, you know, two games at 1, two games at 1:20, two games at 1:40, we could get some of these starts, these finishes that maybe people could watch. But anyway, I mean, it's above my pay grade, I guess. I just don't know why the NFL doesn't do something like that. I know people have talked about it. It's never happened.
It'd be pretty electric to have a game like tee times at a golf course. Like every like 5-10 minutes, another game starts. Like that would be pretty crazy to just have them all kicking off. Like it would be pretty cool. But I don't know. The NFL might not be there quite yet. But speaking of some of the games from yesterday, Sal, I know one game that maybe was on some Bills fans' TV screens was Vikings-Texans. The Vikings beat up on the Texans yesterday. I mean, I don't know if you caught much of that one, but
yeah,
it was a pretty rough game if you're Houston.
Yeah, I think there's two different perspectives here, right? First of all, from Houston, you know, they've played pretty well, and then they just went into Minnesota and did not play well at all. And Minnesota, they really confused C.J. Stroud more than I've ever seen. C.J. Stroud was kind of like seeing things that I think, you know, maybe he was not trusting. He did not have a very good game. What were his numbers? Let me look at his numbers overall. C.J. Stroud, 20 of 31 for 215, a touchdown and two interceptions. The Vikings did a really good job. Kevin O'Connell deserves a lot of credit for what he's done. Remember last year, Josh Dobbs comes in like 4 days and he looks pretty good, right? And then O'Connell gets, you know, Sam Darnold. I said when J.J. McCarthy went down that might be like better for their season for Darnold than McCarthy. It's not better for the organization necessarily, it's better for their season. And it is. I mean, Sam Darnold has looked really good so far. But I would also tell you guys, out of all the teams in the league, I think the Minnesota Vikings may have put together the most solid 12 quarters around the NFL, to be quite honest. They look really good. And that's a team that I thought could be actually like vying for the top pick in the draft. I mean, I'm not alone to think they weren't very good, but they're way better than I thought, at least through three games. They looked really good. And now it does bring into question exactly who the Texans are, what they are. But, you know this league. You can lose like that 1 week and then blow a team out the next week. You know, we see what New Orleans did first 2 weeks, and then suddenly they lose to Philadelphia. So you never know, it can happen. But, yeah, you're right. The Texans did not look good, and the Vikings looked really, really good. And they have for three straight weeks now.
And, yes, Al, that was kind of my point, too, that I was talking with Josh here in the first segment. I don't know yet if there really has been, like, a great team. New Orleans kind of felt like maybe they were going to be that team, you know, going into yesterday, their highest scoring team in football, and really laid an egg against the Eagles, an Eagles team that has also not looked very good. But yeah, I think you're right. Minnesota has looked just really solid. They're doing well. Darnold looks awesome. We talked a lot about it, too, of, like, looking at their schedule and going, that is a gauntlet.
Yeah,
through the early parts. I mean, they've dismantled a lot of these teams. They dismantled San Francisco as well.
They did, and now they get Green Bay. That's going to be a really interesting game next week. Vikings at Packers next week. That's a really interesting game. You know, and then the Vikings go to London to play the Jets the week before the Jets come back to play the Bills. And I think that's a really interesting game now for both teams, right? I mean, you think originally, like, okay, if Rodgers is healthy, they should take care of Minnesota, but I don't know. I mean, right now, Minnesota against New York in London, that the morning before the Bills play the Texans, it's going to be interesting television.
All right, Sal, let's not take up too much more of your time. We still got to get to the Bills. I mean, they play tonight, of course, against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And do want to start, though, with the injury report, the Barnes injury report, brought to you by the Barnes firm. Car crash, for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Sal, the Bills did have practice this weekend as well. What notably for the Bills on their injury side of things, and then also with Jacksonville?
So, you know, not good news, obviously, to not have Terrell Bernard or Taron Johnson. We know that, but we knew that earlier in the week, guys, that the Bills wouldn't have them. Those are the only two players with any injury designation at all. So that's the good news for the Bills, which is Bernard is out, Johnson's out. Everybody else on the active roster is a go. So obviously no Matt Milano, he's not on the active roster, he's on IR. But meaning the guys who were even a little bit limited this week, DeJuan Smoot, Javon Solomon. So I wonder how that shakes out. So you probably don't need an elevation tonight for a defensive end like you did the first 2 weeks, right? First 2 weeks you had Cameron Klein and Kingsley Jonathan. In this situation, you just basically have DeJuan Smoot available. He'll go in. I wonder if Javon Solomon even gets a jersey. It's probably between Solomon and Tuhill. And Tuhill actually played pretty well, but he's coming off an injury. He was a full participant. So I don't know if Solomon even gets a jersey tonight. He might be inactive, but either way, DeJuan Smoot, Javon Solomon, everybody. And then Josh Allen obviously is dealing with the hand issue. Still a full participant every day, but it's just something to watch for, guys. I mean, he's got the glove on. He's got his fingers taped. So that's just something to watch out for. On the other side, Evan Engram, he's out. Really excellent tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's a big part of their offense. I thought he'd be a real big part of their offense tonight going against the Bills' second level because Bealen Spector's obviously playing for Terrell Bernard and Dorian Williams is in there, but they won't have him. Brenton Strange is their backup tight end, but they've had a week to kind of, you know, work that out too, so I'm sure they'll have a plan. And then they do have three guys listed as questionable: running back Tank Bigsby, safety Darnell Savage, and wide receiver Tim Jones.
I think the biggest thing that caught my eye on this injury report is Evan Engram. I mean, what's that going to mean for Jacksonville's offense? And conversely, what's it going to mean for the Bills' defense? I mean, that's a big name that's not really thought of as a big name anymore, but he's been a key part of their offense so far this year. I mean, what's that going to mean for the Bills' linebackers?
Well, I mean, I do think they'll try to attack the second level of the Bills. I think that's, you know, the coverage of Spector and Williams, to me, has been the concern all week, putting them together. Like, Williams is not a great cover linebacker, but with Terrell Bernard there, you can mitigate that. You know, Spector's not a great cover linebacker, but if Matt Milano's there, you can mitigate that. You put them together, they're very good against the run. Now, it doesn't mean they're horrible in coverage. I just think, you know, it's something that other teams will probably test, and the Jags will do that tonight with Travis Etienne. And if they had Evan Engram, I would think that they would absolutely want to do that. They don't, so I'm sure Brenton Strange will, you know, be a guy that they'll look to attack that area and see what they can get out of it. But we'll see. It'll be a really interesting kind of chess match in the middle of the field with the Bills linebackers in coverage, but no Evan Engram for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Sal, what do you think on the Jacksonville Jaguars overall? I mean, Lawrence was this highly touted quarterback coming out of Clemson. Very good college career. They've added some guys as well, like Brian Thomas Jr. Christian Kirk, they signed to a big deal, but he seemed to be pretty solid. Gabe Davis, Mitch Morris go over there. But you look at their offensive production this year, and really even what they were to end last year, they just seem like a team that just kind of stumbles over themselves. Even though, at this point last year, it felt like the AFC South had kind of opened to them and that they were going to be kind of the dominant team there, they've just never seemed to be able to get off the ground. I used to like Doug Peterson. I've kind of now jokingly said he's Mike McCarthy with better PR. I'm starting to now like fully believe in the joke that it's there. I find myself having no confidence in Jacksonville, even though I'm the Bills fan, that when they play the Jaguars, I get nervous.
Yeah, for sure. I still think Mike McCarthy on the brain now. Doug Peterson is a really good offensive coach, but you do wonder about, you know, when Peterson was, you know, winning a Super Bowl with the Eagles and the time that's passed and some of the changes in the game, like, has he changed enough, right? Because so far through two games, they haven't done enough offensively. They've scored 17 and 13 points in their two games. Now, they could have had 24 with one more yard against Miami, but there was a fumble on the play, and then Miami came back and won the game. But, you know, they haven't really been able to put the points up on the board. And as far as Trevor Lawrence is concerned, he hasn't quite developed into that generational type of quarterback. He's still good. I understand why they paid him, and I would too. I mean, he's a really good quarterback, and but coming out of Clemson, you guys remember when he was back as a freshman, people were calling him generational at Clemson. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, whoever gets this guy, he's the greatest prospect since Andrew Luck, and Luck was the best prospect since John Elway, and he's the next one. He hasn't risen to that, but I think that's unfair to him now that even though he's really good, that standard was kind of placed on him, that bar was kind of placed on him, but I think they need more out of him. They need more out of what they're getting. Their offensive line has not been great so far this year. You know, we'll see. By the way, I'm thinking of a Bale Inspector here too. Bale Inspector and Trevor Lawrence were national champions together for Clemson 2018, right? They won the national championship together. Spector would have been on that team. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence would have been on that team. So it's an interesting storyline, you know, here tonight. But yeah, I think the Jags are a team that has a lot of talent, it seems like. Haven't quite put it together. Are the Bills catching them at the right time before they figure it out this year? Or are they going to regroup after, and be ready to come out and show that, you know, this is not the team that they've been? You go back to last year, the second half of last year, they didn't play very well. So, and you're right about the just... that said Ed Oliver kept using the word weird, right? Everything weird things, weird
said weird
things
like
happen.
17 times in a minute and a half.
Yeah, like
right.
I mean, you're right about that. Like, it just seems like weird things happen. You know, when they play the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't buy into the historical stuff relating to this game. But when a player on a team talks about it, you know that they've thought about that a little bit too. That, you know, for some reason they just haven't been able to beat this team.
Last one real quick here for you, Sal. What's the vibe going to be around Gabe Davis and Mitch Morse? It's the return to Buffalo. Yeah. I mean, what do you think that's going to be like tonight in Highmark Stadium?
Well, I'm pretty positive Mitch Morse will get just lots and lots of cheers and thank yous and, you know, all of that. I think Gabe will get a lot of that. But I think Gabe will probably also have a lot of people who are ready to tell Gabe Davis, we're glad you're not here and moved on. And I don't know if that's fair or not. But I think Gabe was a polarizing player his last couple of years in Buffalo. People wanted more from him, and that 4-touchdown game, and you know, that kind of, you know, put that bar a little bit higher in expectations maybe than what it should have been. Gabe Davis was a good player for the Buffalo Bills. He was a good 4-year fourth round player. I mean, you find how many fourth round wide receivers put together 4 years like that with a team and put together the production, especially the touchdowns. So, I think he should get a warm ovation. But look, once the game starts, obviously, you know, be a fan and boo the other team. You know, you're not cheering for Mitch Morris. You're not cheering for Gabe Davis. You're cheering for the Buffalo Bills. I think Mitch Morris will be very well received when he's coming out of the tunnel and, you know, people, you know, giving him, you know, all of his flowers or whatever. And I am interested, though, what the crowd reaction is going to be for Gabe, who I think was a polarizing player for a couple of years.
All right, Sal, rest up. We'll talk to you later. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll hear from you soon.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline, getting us ready for a 7:30 kickoff over at Highmark Stadium as the Buffalo Bills will take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Still looking for calls, 803-0550, the number to call. A little bit of a vibe check with a number of hours here until game time. Zach Jones and Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And, of course, with it being a football game day Monday, it is presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And don't worry, I only have one more read as we are getting connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We will go to John here. John, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So I have more of a question than an observation, but I'm very curious. You guys always have a lot of statistics on stuff, and so I'm hoping maybe you have some experience with this kind of a question. I'm curious how weather, and it doesn't have to be a driving rain or a snowstorm, could just be wet field conditions, wet handling of the ball, affects teams that have a decided advantage or favored over, you know, other teams. My gut tells me that it tends to equalize things a little bit. It softens those advantages, perhaps, but I have no data to support that. So I'm curious what you think. You can't control the weather, I realize that, but I'm wondering if the weather conditions or the wet conditions can, you know, negate some of the advantages that maybe the Bills might have over the Jags. So I'm just curious. I'll hang up and listen to you.
John, thanks for the call. I don't really know how much they actually affect NFL games. A lot of just kind of is how best set up are you to handle, whether it be wet field conditions, driving rain, wind,
depends on the field, too. I mean, a smaller part of it, but it
I will
does
say
depend on that.
The win game against the Patriots.
Yeah.
The Patriots were perfectly set up for that. The Bills wanted to throw, ultimately could throw, only figured that out later on in the game, where the Patriots wanted to run the ball.
Right.
And they designed a game plan to run the ball, where the Bills kind of were struggling to sort of figure out what they wanted to do. That was just more of not really understanding what you really had in your team, I think, for the Bills. And also for the Jaguars, I'd be more nervous if, let's say, they're the Baltimore Ravens, you know, right now.
Yeah, big
where
time.
It's like,
right.
But even then, I don't really think there's supposed to be much weather happening in the game. I don't think it's supposed to be a rain game or anything like that. I think the rain's happening now, and it's going to be cloudy or overcast. Well, we will know, though, more at around 11:30 when Patrick Hammer joins us. And so we'll ask him, of course. But I think it's just more like how your team is set up.
Mm-hmm.
It's less of like the great equalizer. And it's just more of like, and it's going to be kind of annoying.
Well, and now too, I mean, think about like the way the Bills have been playing the first 2 weeks. The run game has been a big part of it, yes, but the short passing game is also a highlight so far in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. So I feel like short passes, well, they can still be problems if it's wet and rainy or windy
of course.
It's not nearly as difficult as, let's say, a 40-yard Josh Allen heat-seeking missile down the sideline than it is for a, you know, 6-7 yard slant.
I think it is also just team construction.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we talk about it with the run game, but then you also do look at a team like Miami, where they go where it's a little bit more chilly, and their team is much more built for, you know, being a Ferrari and go rather than getting into a bit of a slugfight.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of that I think is where weather comes into it. But ultimately, talented teams are talented teams, and they will figure out a way to win. 803-0550 is the number to call. Other John number two, we will get to you after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
And the guy today, 7 catches, his best game. Here's Barkley, Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley's the guy. He's going to take it. Touchdown from 65.
That is the Philadelphia Eagles' one and only savior, Saquon Barkley. I honestly brought it up as a joke in hour number one. I do not know where that team would be without him. Honestly,
it makes sense.
They're not a bad football team. They're a very, very poorly coached football team. I think they are one of the most talented teams in football. I think Nick Sirianni is a joke of a head coach.
What bad head coach would be? How would they be with Bill Belichick? I think he'd be better than Sirianni, but would he be better for that team?
No. I think it's the thing. No. I would love to see them with, like, Matt LaFleur.
Ooh.
Like, Matt LaFleur on that team, I feel like, would be just a cheat code.
Brian Daboll. Yeah.
No. No. I'm kind of out on Daboll.
Well, I don't know, because what he's doing with Malik Nabers, I think,
But I think Malik Nabers is just a great wide receiver.
Yeah, but still, I think that if you can get Daniel Jones to where he was a couple of years ago, and then also doing what he's doing now. Granted, it's not great, but he's got better numbers than Jalen Hurts in some categories. Hurts has
absolutely
3 or 4 more turnovers than Daniel Jones does.
Hurts is just
I don't think he's bad either. Again, I think it goes down to coaching. If he has the right coach, I think he gets put in the right situations.
I think it all started with in the offseason where he went to, what was it, Wink Martindale to like ask for advice and stuff.
How did you beat me? Oh.
It was not good. It was not good. Yesterday, he goes 29 for 38, 311 yards, and one interception. He also ran the ball 8 times for 25 yards. Really, though, it was Saquon Barkley, 17 rushing attempts, 147 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
It doesn't help that A.J. Brown is hurt, and it also doesn't help that Devontae Smith left with he left the game, right?
I think it was.
After he got hit?
I think so. I think I saw Colin Cowherd brought up a tweet or a statistic of Hurts without A.J. Brown, Hurts with A.J. Brown. Look, I'm all for the good receivers, but like you go from being a bad quarterback to a really good quarterback.
Yeah, and you have like it's A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and Saquon Barkley. The next three receivers are Jahan Dotson, Britton Covey, and Johnny Wilson.
Well, remember when they traded for Jahan Dotson, they were playing chestnut checkers. Remember that. Remember.
Okay.
Never forget that.
Sure.
By the way, 3 targets, 2 catches, 8 yards for Jahan Dotson. Because remember, anytime a team trades for a wide receiver, it's the I mean, they're stealing Kenny from a kid every time.
I want to see Kenny Pickett play a game this year.
Oh, I don't. Oh, God.
Yeah. No. Get to that point. I want them to get to that point.
It's the same thing, just worse.
I know.
But I
want them to find out the hard way.
On that with the Eagles, though, like they're 2-1 now.
Yeah.
Sirianni should still probably be fired by the end of this year.
Oh, yeah. I think they should fire him midseason.
And a lot of it, too, is I'm obviously watching more football with the Bills having a lot of these primetime games. I'm actually able to watch football. It's a super crazy concept. And I'm enjoying it. But a lot of it, too, is I'm looking around, and I know some Bills fans will not like to hear this. I find myself getting more of an appreciation for Sean McDermott as the head coach and really the coordinators as well. I see atrocious coaching in football constantly. Constantly. Yeah. And even Sirianni is sort of the main culprit of that. I've joked around and said Doug Peterson is the Mike McCarthy with better PR. But even Mike McCarthy, like those two alone are a disaster.
Yeah. And it's even the coordinators, too. I mean, like Vic Fangio just...
Coordinators mean so much. Arthur Smith with Justin Fields, it's not sexy, but it kind of works.
It's weird, but it works.
It works. Like they're not going to light the world on fire. They're not going to do anything insane. They look pretty darn good, though. They look okay.
Speaking of Arthur Smith, though, I mean, maybe he was onto something when he had Bijan blocking a bunch last year. Because did you see that block that Bijan laid on the Kyle Pitts big play?
Every time Bijan has to block and not touch the football, the world is worse off. Every time.
No.
Even though play went well.
Yes, but for the Falcons themselves.
On that play.
On that play specifically, it went very, very well.
Just it's so frustrating watching the Falcons have all of this talent. And just
I don't know if this is already a thing, but when can we talk about fantasy football having points for blocking from players?
Oh, I hope never, because then it's going to lead to, hey, you want to draft offensive linemen, and that's
No. You keep everything the same. Hey, look, Bijan, he laid a great block there. The quarterback didn't get sacked. That's half a point.
It's half a point.
No, it'd be a lot.
That's too much.
It'd be a lot. .01 points for every successful block. If your quarterback,
what is the point?
If your quarterback does not get sacked, and if you're like a wide receiver and you create 1 yard, you get .01. If you create 2 yards, you get .02, so on and so forth.
You've lost me so fast.
I can work this out. I'm going to work it out for the rest of the show, and we're going to have something by the end of it. We're going to figure this out.
Let's go back to the phones here. We've got John on the line. John, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good morning, guys. Hey, good segue. I'm actually driving in from Philly. I'm a Buffalo native.
Beautiful.
There now.
Nice.
My wife's from there. That's her team. I kind of have very similar. She's actually become a massive Bills Mafia fan as well, though. She's with me at a lot of the games watching them. But anyways, I kind of have similar feelings to you guys. I think Sirianni is a big issue there. I've been saying that since last year after they beat the Bills. It seems like from then on, they just kind of crashed and burned. But anyways, let's talk about the Bills, if that's okay. Like I said, I'm driving in now. First stop is Barbell with my buddy Adam. Looking forward to getting some wings. That'll be my breakfast. Nice. I haven't ate yet today. But
it's a good breakfast.
So that'll be good. Yeah, it'll be a great breakfast. And then I'm going to save some for the ride home, which will be good. I'll be driving back through the night after the game. But, hey, just wanted to give you my insights on the Bills this year. I got two points I want to make, and then I'll kind of hang up and listen. I appreciate you guys so much. Having this app, being able to listen from Philly is great. I listen to you guys every day. The 2 points I want to make are, one, I want to see a bigger sample size of the Bills before I'm really – I mean, I pick the Bills to go to the Super Bowl every year. That's just the kind of fan I am, and I'm super optimistic, and I still am. But when my realistic brain kicks in, I want to see a bigger sample size, because while – ultimately, the two games, we had the same outcome. We've won them both, but they've been very different games. One was obviously a come from behind. Josh had we carried the team. The second one was really we dominated. The defense really carried us a lot, as well as, you know, obviously the offense didn't have to do as much. So I want to see a bigger sample size before I really am sold on who we are going to be this year long term. I just hope we're just going to be a winning team long term, which that looks like it could be the case. And then the other side is I'd like to see I'm not very critical of Josh ever, and this is really isn't a criticism. This is more of just a, hey, I want to see this get better this year because it has been good in the past, is his deep ball. He's overthrown MVS a couple times, and I really like to see his deep ball get better where he hits those guys in stride.
Yeah, absolutely, John, man. Thanks for the call. Enjoy the wings. I have not been there in a while. He said that.
A month ago, and it...
By the way, also driving through the night, courageous.
That's the other thing.
Courageous,
John. You're a trooper through all this, man. You are driving like 24 courageous. Hours straight. Well, not really, but it's going to feel like it.
Good on you, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
I want to say something on his last point there about Allen with the deep ball, because I agree with him in terms of Allen getting better with the deep ball, but I wonder how much the talent of player that he's throwing to it kind of.
No,
excuse that a little bit. Because
I think he's always had an issue with the deep ball.
Well, no. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying right now, are we not seeing what it actually is because MVS can't do what Allen needs him to do.
No, right? he missed Diggs last year. I think it's yeah. the one huge issue in his passing game.
But that was also last year. I mean, you don't know what he did in the offseason because you haven't really seen the deep ball yet. You've only seen it a couple times, and it's only been to MVS. He hasn't had a big deep ball to Keon Coleman. He hasn't had, aside from the one in
no,
the Cardinals game.
No, I mean, I get that, but he's had like a year of being a good deep ball passer.
Right. Right.
So like you ultimately, I know he's not a good deep ball passer. I don't really care who's on his team. MVS MVS was open. Yeah. Stephon Diggs was open a lot last year. Yeah. He misses them pretty regularly. And I agree with John. Like he needs to be better at it.
He's never
because you're not going to have many opportunities now to throw the deep ball in terms of crossing patterns. You do have the opportunity to do it in those four verticals when you are eating teams alive via the short pass, via just going underneath, the run game, what have you, he's got to be able to hit those deep shots.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's never been a consistent enough aspect of his game. Where in 2020, I was lights out.
Yeah.
It was great. Right. But I remember in 2019, it took to like the night game in New England where he hit John Brown and it was like, oh my gosh, he hit a deep ball. Like it was a genuine thing. You know, 2018, I think he was pretty good with the deep ball, I think. I mean, the Robert Foster one, I always kind of remember. But that's never really, which is weird for how big of an arm he has. He's always been good at like the intermediate two deep passes.
Right.
Never really like the long ball. He'll hit one or two. I mean, it's not like it's not there in his game, but it's just, it's never been consistent enough. And I think it has really affected when this offense can really strike and take teams out. Sure, talent, I think, plays into it. But last year, he missed Diggs a lot for deep passes. And so far this year, he was, you know, just missed MVS. And that's what he's here for. You got to hit him.
Well, I wonder though, because a lot of the talk ever since he was drafted was he has the arm power but not the accuracy or the control. And I wonder if it's – because over the years he's gotten better at hitting these passes, not throwing as many interceptions and whatever you want to call it. But I wonder if it's more he has better decision-making now than it is actual accuracy. Instead of being able to hit these, as you said, intermediate to deep balls, he's hitting what would be a deep pass – earlier in the route, he's able to identify, hey, this guy's going to be open between here and here. I'm going to hit him sooner,
he doesn't have
as much room for error. Right. It's less of the accuracy. He maybe still doesn't have that fully, but he has more of the, I know when to hit them rather than, hey, MVS is open at the 10-yard line, and he's going to be open until the 30-yard line. So I'm going to hit him at the 15 rather than the 25. Because then you leave more room for error. You're trying to get the ball further. You're putting more power into it. And I wonder if it's a decision-making thing rather than an accuracy thing or a control thing.
I think it's never been an efficient play. It's why when I hear Mel Kiper freaking out about the deep ball's gone, it's like, well, I mean, teams never really went to the deep ball all that much anyways. Right. It's always
when you hit it, it's there. And it's big because it's probably a touchdown or a big gain. But like you said, it's if you took a entire game for both teams, how many deep balls actually get completed?
Yeah, realistically, it's not many. And I get it. In terms of the better sample size, yeah, obviously, like I'm fully there. Like I'm excited after 2 weeks. I'm already like saying like the schedule looks better. But yeah, by like week four or five, it could be like, all right, San Francisco's back, LA's getting healthier, what have you, and it's a bit different. We're having more issues. I like what they've looked like so far, though. We talked with Sal as well. Like it seems like there's only two or three teams that actually look really good. One of them is Minnesota, which was very
mind-boggling
weird to find out.
Mind-boggling.
Because I don't know if you were here, but me and Sal talked about too of the schedule, looking at it and going like, man, Minnesota, like that schedule is a gauntlet.
Yeah.
And you know, if Sam Darnold doesn't hit, like how bad are they really?
Well, and I remember the conversation too was, hey, the Bills have their second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be, you know, the top pick in the second round? Is that going to be top five in the second round? That could be huge. Mm-hmm. And now it's the exact opposite of, oh man, that's going to be like almost a third round pick potentially.
It's looking like it to start where it's just like they've kind of figured it out. They sort of know what they're doing.
What you could really hope for is they just run out of gas at the playoffs.
Yeah. But I mean, Kevin O'Connell again shows that he is a very, very good head coach that kind of just gets, without a doubt, the most out of his quarterbacks. And that's my thing, too, is if I'm a Bears fan, I'm kind of freaking out looking at the NFC North coaches. I have Matt LaFleur having Malik Willis look unbelievable. running the ball, passing the ball, everything. He looks great. He's been there for 5 minutes. It's not even like he's been there for an off. He's been there for 5 minutes. You have Kevin O'Connell, who literally does not matter who his quarterback is. He's making that work. And now he's going to get a whole off season, or a whole season and off season of J.J. McCarthy just hanging out with him in meetings, hanging out with him, just picking his brain, teaching him the whole thing. Not reps, I get it, but he's just maturing as that kind of player. And he already came off as like a head coach's dream in terms of what you want a quarterback. You know, yelling at players, you know, on recruiting visits at Michigan, like if they weren't like all bought in. You know, he's a dream. And then you have the Detroit Lions, who just have absolutely gotten the most out of Jared Goff. And even when Sam LaPorta picks up another injury, they are just, they're fine. They're cruising along. They have Jameson Williams. They have Amon-Ra St. Brown. They have both Montgomery and Gibbs. Goff is pretty good. They have a great O-line. Like, if I'm the Bears, this year started off like with a lot of hype and a lot of excitement. It is Waldron is a bad OC. A bad OC.
I mean, remember in the offseason, Jaxon Smith-Njigba was getting interviewed. And is it live? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Waldron, he's a good coach. He's going to be great. Yeah, good luck.
And looked so uncomfortable to like say anything positive.
He literally said at the end, like, good luck, and laughed. And it's like, oh, no, that's not going to be good for the Bears.
And it looks exactly like that. Yeah. They don't know what they're doing. And they finally got Roma Dunze off and Caleb. But, I mean, it has not looked good at all to start.
On the flip side, the Seahawks are
cruising
fine without him. So, yeah. But it's funny you bring up that Dunze thing, because there was a pass earlier in the game where Caleb Williams almost had Roma Dunze not open, but he was breaking away from his defender, and I was like, great. We're going to get another video from Roma Dunze's dad saying, look at this. Another guy, wide open, missed.
Would have been so good.
I want it so bad. I want that to keep happening all season.
But, yeah, it's another thing, too, where it's the coaching point. But, yeah, I totally want more of a sample size as well. I mean, they're going to have a big portion of their schedule here coming up that is ultimately, I think, both against good teams but also desperate teams.
But, I mean,
if you're Baltimore, you can't be sitting here going, oh, we beat the Cowboys, we're back. Yeah. It's like if next week you go out and lose to the Bills at home, you're 1-3.
Well,
and you're
two,
still looking around going, I don't know what's happening.
I'm not really all that. It's hard to take anything from that Cowboys game because, like I said before,
it's
the Cowboys have given up 464 yards of rushing offense in 2 weeks. It's insane. They gave up 151 yards to Derrick Henry and however many yards to Alvin Kamara the week before. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's just because the Cowboys are bad. I mean, yes, Derrick Henry's a good running back, but it leads questions of, you know, how bad or how good are the Ravens? Because they didn't look good in the first 2 weeks.
And ultimately, we were talking about the Chiefs,
rough,
too.
I should say.
But we were talking about the Chiefs, too. Like, I haven't left any of their games thinking, like, oh, man, they're, here's the three-peat.
Right.
Here it comes.
But again, remember the conversations we were having in the offseason of, man, the first 6 weeks of the Bills' schedule look pretty tough. And you have the Cardinals who...
You mean early gauntlet, yep.
The Cardinals are a question. You don't know what you're getting there. How are you going to handle the Dolphins with your new offense?
Mm-hmm.
The Jaguars always give you problems. The Ravens are really good. The Texans have Stephon Diggs. And what are the Jets going to be? And now it's, well, you handled the Cardinals and the Dolphins. The Jaguars look really rough. The Ravens are questionable. The Texans still have their moments. And the Jets are the Jets.
I do not like the Jets at all, man.
The best way to put it is the Jets are the Jets because, yes, you have Aaron Rodgers, but that doesn't mean anything. So it's the schedule has changed a lot for me up to this point. I mean, it's still tough. I mean, obviously, you look ahead further, like Titans, Seahawks, Dolphins again, Colts, Chiefs, 49ers, and then you have the bye week, or a couple more weeks, then you have the bye week, I think. But you look at all those teams. And the back half of this schedule is where we were all looking for kind of the relief. I mean, yes, you have the 49ers and the Chiefs, but you were hoping for the relief because you have two Patriots games in the end of the season. You have the Jets game, you have the Colts, you have the Titans.
It felt like it's somewhat more opened up where it's like,
right.
Okay,
yeah.
And also it was the sort of feeling of the young team kind of would have figured it out and what you have.
And you knew what you had. Yeah.
And, of course, you do have still Josh Allen, a quarterback, so you're never going to be completely out of it.
But now you look at all the teams that are looking ahead to,
yeah,
and you can look at every single one of them and say, well, the Chiefs are questionable. What's going on there? How is that going to happen? And sure, that's much later in the season. But I don't know. I feel like the perception of the schedule has definitely changed. And this can change week by week. I mean, Sal said it last hour, you know, this could all be completely different at the end of week 4.
100%.
This time next week, it could be, Okay, so the Bills
are 2-2.
2-2. What happened?
Yep, 100%. Absolutely. It's just, yeah. And this is even with big injuries on their defense. Mm-hmm. You are still without Teron Johnson, Terrell Bernard, likely Matt Milano for most of, if not the entire year.
Well, we don't really know on Bernard and Johnson. So that's a little more of like hope. But
every day they're not put on IR, I'm thinking it's a positive direction.
Right, exactly. But with Milano, it was from the beginning, it was maybe December.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he can.
Yeah, so most of, if not the entire year.
Yeah.
And you're making it work. You're getting great reps from your backups.
Von Miller
looks incredible.
Greg Rousseau.
Ed Oliver. I mean, you feel good going into this year. And that's the thing. And especially how the league looks now. It's not like the Bills are like, yeah, they're winning with a short passing game and running game, while the Chiefs, Vikings, and Packers or whatever are winning by stretching the field, throwing the ball. And you're sitting there going, yeah, I don't really like how we match up with them. In reality, I'm sitting here going, I want the run defense to be a bit better for the Bills. I want them to get healthier. I want to see a more clear-cut guy in the receiving game that's sort of embracing it. Kincaid, I'm still a little nervous about.
Samuel, too.
Up to this point. Samuel, I can at least argue injury-wise. Kincaid, I'm just kind of at a loss at this point. But Shakir has looked very, very good up to this point. Mm-hmm. Keon Coleman, when he was actually really targeted, looked very good. Cook, you can argue, has looked very good as well. So I'm finding myself a little bit more relaxed than I was maybe a month or so ago with the Bills. And it helps, though, that the schedule has opened up a lot. Now, again, they have to handle business against Jacksonville, but as the 2 weeks have gone on, where we're at now, you look at the Jags, and you're just kind of sitting there going, okay, they can't score. One of their only consistent weapons on offense is hurt.
And the other one is their kicker.
And the other one is their kicker. Like, great. Like,
super cool.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
They will have those weird games. I get it. Like, that's
right.
Every team does. Every team will struggle here and there where they really, really shouldn't. I mean, the New Orleans Saints, I'm not saying that the Eagles, I've mentioned, I think they're a poorly coached team. I think they're untalented.
They're frauds.
But for them, you know, the Saints are lighting the world on fire.
Yeah.
And then they score 12 points at home.
Clint Kubiak looks amazing through the first 2 weeks. And then yesterday, it was just.
Derek Carr, I think, maybe got to 150 yards passing, maybe.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I got to actually check that.
Don't know. It didn't feel like he did.
No.
I think he only got to, like, maybe 100.
Let us check this now. He got to 142.
Oh, all right. Did not feel like it. Didn't look like it on the scoreboard either, obviously. But 3-0 through three quarters in that game was atrocious.
It was an electric factory, Josh. It was an electric factory. But on the Jags here, real quick, it's just they have not scored 20 points yet in a game. And Sal brought it up correctly, I think, against Miami. They were a yard away from scoring 24.
Right.
But that's still a really bad turnover on a point where you're putting that game out of reach. And up to this point, they're 0-7 in their last seven games, going back to last year,
mm-hmm.
where, again, it felt like everything was opening up for them. The division didn't look great. Houston perception of them was not that great. Indianapolis was going through their own rebuild. Tennessee is whatever they are. I'm not 100% sure. And instead, Jacksonville, like, I mean, you joke that, like, they're the Jets. They're the Jaguars. They're exactly what you expect every year, which is super disappointing. Mm-hmm. Not really that exciting. No real stars or anything. I will say, Brian Thomas Jr., I'm really excited to see the Bills go up against him. They handled Marvin Harrison Jr. arguably pretty well, but I do wonder if that was also the Cardinals not targeting him nearly enough as much as they should have.
How much are you worried about the mini-buy? Are you concerned with that at all?
No. If anything, I am very confident the Bills coming off.
I don't know. I'm just curious because I know sometimes those lead to, you know, some questionable things. That happened. I mean, you get there and it's just, what's this?
It's a bit of a slow start.
Right, yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if there might be a slow start tonight, but I hope that it's not that big of a deal, but I do know that it's been a problem in the past for not just the Bills, but for everybody. So I'm wondering about that a little bit, but I think that'll be fine. I just was curious if you.
I just
get concerned about that sort of stuff.
I just need them to beat the Jaguars for my own mental health. I'm so serious. Like, just I don't like that I fear a bad football team, a bad organization.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, no, every time the Bills play them, it just devolves into a rock fight in which the Bills lose.
A rock fight.
Like, I hate it. I hate it. It's so bad. Like, Urban Meyer is arguably one
What's
of the...
What's he up to nowadays? Where is he at?
TVs on Big Ten, their kickoff show.
Yeah.
But, like...
Where all good coaches go. Right.
Pretty much. Urban Meyer, like arguably one of the worst NFL head coaches ever, especially in such a short run that he had.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And one of, like, what, his two wins is against the Bills? Are you kidding me?
He only had two
wins. Oh, no, that's right. It was his only win. Or what, was it his only win?
It might have been his second win, or his first. It was his first win as the coach.
Remember, they fire him. They bring in another guy.
Right, but what week was that? Because I thought they won two games. I thought they beat the Bills, lost, and then beat somebody else.
I am so nervous. Now I got to check.
It's gonna be his only.
Okay, he did have two wins. Okay, okay. Man, that was bad. What? So he had two wins. One of them is against a good Bills team in 21. And it's just, you have that, you have the playoff game, which ultimately that playoff game doesn't hurt me as much because a lot of that was more just, I was somewhat embarrassed to say this now, but I really don't care. I was just thrilled the Bills were in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Like everything after that was like the cherry on top. Because there was, I think, already rumblings at that point that like the team was probably going to tear it down. They were looking for a quarterback in 18. So like it was like, okay, I'm just thrilled to be here, guys. Like, let's go. And then, of course, they don't make the playoffs the next year. But even the Jalen Ramsey game, where after talking all that smack about Allen and a lot of players in the offseason, you know, you have the amazing Robert Foster touchdown. You have like a brawl at some point in one of the end zones. I barely remember that game. I only remember the losses. And I'm not really thrilled about that, but I only remember the losses. It's just like they are a team that I find zero respect in them. I hate that they've pretty much pawned themselves out to London. I get their owner also plays into that, but one of their home games is now in London. I think their color scheme is gross. I don't really understand why we have a NFL football team in Jacksonville, Florida that is clearly college town, like through and through.
At least they don't have the half black, half gold helmets anymore.
That too. Their uniforms have always been a disaster.
Yeah.
And it's just like
we have three teams in Florida.
They've had like, we do.
No other state has three teams.
California.
Nope. Raiders are gone.
Yeah, but they have the
Rams, Chargers. Rams, Chargers,
oh,
49ers.
Forget the Chargers.
Yeah.
Everyone forgets the Chargers, but
well, I'm sorry.
You move them from San Diego to LA to get more fans and then the 49ers sell out your stadium.
I'm going through now. I'm like Texas has two. Okay. Yeah. I'm going through.
No, Texas has two. I knew that. I forgot about. I don't know how I forgot the Chargers, but
well,
New Jersey has two.
New Jersey has two.
New Jersey does have two. New York only has one.
New York has the one. Yep. But yeah, Pennsylvania has two. Pennsylvania has two. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
All right, so there's two states. Whatever.
But
you see my point though is
it's the only
there's always the forgotten team cuz it's the Buccaneers and the Dolphins, oh, and the Jaguars. And then it's the Rams and the 49ers and oh, it's the Chargers.
I don't think they run things particularly well there. It's just and they're a constant frustration. I know a lot of Bills fans are mainly people here have like a frustration with Tennessee. For me, it is 1,000% the Jaguars.
Oh, I
find
Titans,
nothing interesting that they do.
Yeah.
And they constantly frustrate me.
I think in terms of boring level,
mm-hmm.
the Titans are still up there.
Yep.
But the Jaguars are very quickly coming
in. They are there for me. 803-0550 is the number to call. Coming up next, though, we will be joined by Patrick Hammer to get a look at the weather of tonight's game. It is very gloomy right now in our Amherst studio, but we'll see what happens or what's going to be happening closer to kickoff at 7:30. That's coming up here after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Break it down! Time.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com, and you know what that music means as we go to the Western Hotline, and we are joined by Chief Meteorologist over at WGRZ. It is Patrick Hammer. Patrick, how are we doing this morning?
Good. Why is this game causing me to be a nervous wreck? I don't know what it is.
Thank you.
I think you just spoke for the entire area of Western New York and beyond of whoever is watching tonight's game and has a rooting interest for the Bills. I think we all feel the same way. And we were talking in the break. We were going to ask you, what's the vibe check for you tonight? How are you feeling? But clearly feeling a little nervous.
I know it's a conversation that you guys have all had, but there's something about this desperate team. It's like a rabid dog looking for food and will do anything to find it. Right. It's just like when you're this desperate and it's like anything goes at this point. They have nothing to lose, so they're going to go and it's just something weird is going to happen. I don't know. Obviously the history with this team, but there's something about a team as desperate as these guys are, having not won a game since November of last year, weird things mm-hmm. happen. This entire series with the Bills and this team has been weird, right?
And Pat, that's been my thing. It's just like the whole history, most of my life has just been like they play the Jaguars aren't good, and yet miraculously they will just grind out an ugly win. There's no real takeaways from any team, but they leave with the win, we leave with the loss, and we're just all frustrated. I will tell you, though, on that point of a desperate team, I was rooting for the Cowboys yesterday against Baltimore, but a part of me kind of flipped on it, and I went, I just can't see Baltimore going 0-4. I just can't see it.
Us going there, a team that's 0-3 potentially going to be 0-4, yes. That was – I think we would have the same exact feeling about this game, but clearly they would have been, I think, a more challenging opponent. But I don't know. I just – the vibes that I get of Josh Allen intercepting and sacking Josh Allen, if you remember – 2 years ago.
Who could forget?
Josh Allen of the Jags, right? I mean, it was just like,
well, at least
ultimate fear is actually happening.
At least this year, it's Josh Hines Allen. So you don't have the confusion there now, but it's still definitely going to be a tough test for him.
Yes, it is. Now, despite the kind of dreary look to the skies right now, I think we're going to have a pretty decent afternoon of tailgating an evening of football weather-wise. Certainly a lot of clouds. There could be a little isolated shower that pops up this afternoon, but I'm pretty confident that the game will be dry. And most of, again, the afternoon tailgating will be dry outside of a quick shower or a little drizzle that can move through. So all in all, you know, we haven't had rain here in forever. You know, we've had this amazing two-week stretch of sunny and 80s, and it all kind of changed today of all days. But again, I think as you're up planning your afternoon and evening, weather should be pretty decent tonight.
Well, and I know as you said that, you know, with when rain comes in just out of nowhere, it can sometimes cause a little differences in the ground and everything like that. So is that going to, is any of the rain we got overnight in this morning, is that going to be an issue come game time in terms of, you know, how the footing is and everything like that, or how is that?
I don't think so. I mean, the rain that we got this morning wasn't all that much. So I think things should dry out pretty decent, you know. I just don't think, you know, when we spoke about all of this on Friday, we thought, okay, you know, we were thinking, I don't think this rain could be done with by game time. And now I think it's pretty much done for the day. So we're going to have hours and hours to dry out the field and, you know, tailgating lots and parking lots. And all in all, I think, you know, outside of a little shower, I think we should be doing just fine.
Pat, how do you feel about a little bit earlier start for Monday Night Football? Normally it's like the 8:15, 8:30-ish window, but with the doubleheader, the Bills kicking off an hour earlier, someone that works the games, that hour might save my life.
I think it's huge, especially if you're on – doing morning television or radio work.
Yes.
The next day. There's something about, you know, I know it seems like the Sunday night slot is the more premier evening showcase of a football game, but there's just a place in my legacy of watching football games that Monday night is still special, from the music to the days with, you know, Al Michaels and Dan Dierdorf and what was his name? Who was the other guy? The three of them. Anyway, just the announcers of the game, watching Monday Night Football in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You know, maybe it's lost a little bit of its mystique, but I don't know. I still love Monday Night Football.
Was it Keith Jackson?
Well, he was more of a college, right? But no, Dan Dierdorf and the guy that was married to I'm just having a blank. Anyway, there was just a venerable slew of announcers that you just, their voice on a Monday night was just like, everything's right in the world when you hear them. Griffin, what was his name? Anyway, blah, blah, blah.
It's going to hit you as soon as you hang up. You know that, right? It's
Kathy Lee Gifford's husband. What was his name?
Ooh. Well, we have one name.
You're talking about Howard Cosell?
Well, no, oh, God, now we're going back to the 70s. No, he was kind of the venerable announcer in the 90s.
Frank Gifford?
Kathy Lee Gifford's husband. Frank Gifford, thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. We got it. We got it.
We got there. That's all that matters.
Senior moment. A senior moment.
But so, yeah, I think that's right, though. I mean, as long as me and Josh have really been watching football, Sunday night has kind of become like the more prestigious. That's the one you want to be on. I mean, we were making the joke earlier too. They have the nice ring too. Been waiting all day for Sunday night. Like, that's kind of become the thing. But Monday Night Football for a long time too was like just like the best cable TV show ratings wise for like two and three decades. It was an absurd run. It was like that and like Dallas, and that was it. Like that's what everyone was watching.
It's true. I mean, that was a fixture on, you know, before it was on ESPN, it was ABC, you know, it was one of the stalwart shows that you would not miss despite the matchup, you know, you couldn't miss it. And still the music.
It's the best.
Nothing beats it. It's the best.
So quick question, getting back to weather here for a second. I'm looking ahead here at the temperatures, and are we finally going to start getting away from the 80s? I feel like the last week and a half, it's been so hot. And it's still going to be, look on my phone, it still says it's going to be about mid-70s. But is it going to start to cool down a little bit as we get further into September?
I think, yeah, we're kind of out of the 80s, you know, now that we're trending into late September. Can't rule out a warm stretch still. But this week, 60s today, we're going to be back into the 70s for the rest of the week, even though it will be kind of unsettled. We are going to see some rain returning tomorrow and then maybe a shower on Wednesday. But as we head towards the end of the week and the weekend, it looks really nice and we're going to be in the 70s. This stretch, though, of literally like 11 straight days of sunshine and 80s, yes, that has come to an end. But late summer, now we're in fall, do not discount a warm stretch even into October. But 80s are probably done.
Do we have any kind of an idea on the early weather outlook for the Baltimore game on Sunday?
Okay, that's a very good question because, in fact, I should have taken a peek at that. There is going to be a hurricane making landfall, it appears, somewhere on the eastern Gulf Coast, and it will then potentially meander towards the East Coast. There's a big question mark with that. But that could potentially have some residual effects on the Sunday night game in Baltimore. Definitely going to keep an eye on that. I will admit it's been a very changeable outlook for Sunday. But we will revisit that. But right now we got to keep an eye to the tropics for the game on Sunday.
All right, so today weather looks pretty solid. Rain probably done for the day, maybe some scattered showers, but the eye on the ball is going to be for Sunday against Baltimore. All right.
Yes. Today I think we're looking okay. Isolated shower, but mainly dry, tailgate into the game. But yes, we will revisit the Sunday outlook for sure.
All right, sounds good. Pat, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the game today.
All right. Bye, guys.
That was Patrick Hammer, chief meteorologist over at WGRZ on the West Her Hotline. I had to ask that only because remembering it was in Baltimore, the last Bills game I attended was in Baltimore, and it was just, it wasn't like a rain shower.
No, because it was I remember it was
cold, it was kind of ugly in Baltimore the whole day.
I remember it being a residual part of a hurricane that year. Am I remembering wrong?
I have no idea.
Maybe I'm remembering wrong, but I remember that leading up to the game, the talk was, the Bills are going to have, both teams are going to have to work through it because the weather is going to be bad because this hurricane is still coming through. And I'm trying to find now like a list of hurricanes from that year, but it's still,
nothing yet.
Sorting through this. But I remember for some reason that was the reason why, but I don't know if it's true or not. I'm going to try to find out here before the show wraps up.
Do have a little bit of an update here on Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. Ian Rapoport reported that he did obviously aggravate his high ankle sprain against the Steelers yesterday, obviously leaving the game. Had x-rays. They were negative, and he's going to be continuing to monitor that this week. He has been dealing with a lot of lower body injuries to start this year. Basically missed all of camp, and then now with this high ankle sprain, it's been a tough start for the Chargers, even though they are 2-1. But Herbert just has not really been able to stay healthy much throughout this start of the season. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, I do want to mention something that happened over the weekend that was really cool here in local sports. With it after a quick time out. You'll listen to the Norristown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
From 37 yards away to win it, Upton Bellenfont for the Bulls. Snap, spot, kick, up, on the way, and bullseye! The Bulls have knocked off the 23rd-ranked Northern Illinois Huskies 23-20 in overtime. They come pouring off the sidelines to surround their kicker and celebrate one of the biggest wins in UB school history.
And so UB's better than Notre Dame.
Exactly. That's exactly how that goes. That is not putting it lightly, though. That is just the second time University of Buffalo has beaten, or University of Buffalo has beaten a ranked program. The first time, also a MAC school. They have never actually beaten like a team outside of the MAC that's ranked.
Really?
It's two MAC teams. The first time was in 2008 under Turner Gill when UB won the MAC championship. They beat, at the time, number 12th ranked Ball State 42-24. I do remember watching that game. I had season tickets growing up to UB football games, and I do remember watching that one. I remember not really believing that they were going to win, but we were turning it on the TV, and then it was like, wait a second. And so I was 10, 11, something like that,
yeah,
around there. And so that was huge. And then obviously they then beat the 23rd ranked Northern Illinois 23-20, a huge win for them as
Big
well.
Big comeback.
It was a comeback win. Kept it close the entire time on the road as well. A true road game where, you know, the MAC championship was in Ford Field in Detroit.
I love looking at the win probability charts for these.
Yeah, where UB only ever at one point during the actual game with 4:12 left had 54.3% chance to win it.
And then all of a sudden just shoots up with the field goal, obviously.
To obviously 100%. Yep. Yeah. But great game. Sean Dolak from West Seneca.
Yeah, linebacker.
Unbelievable performance by him. I think 19 tackles, just an absolute freak of nature.
UB linebacker, you? Some people are saying it.
I mean,
some people are saying it.
Just straight up.
Like, I am some people.
Just straight up defensive players just coming out of UB have been very, very good as of late. And now UB, though, sits at 3-1. Obviously, to start the year in the MAC, 1-0.
15 tackles in that game for Dolak.
I thought it was 19. 15?
15 solo tackles.
15 solo, okay.
I'm sorry, yeah. And 4.5 tackles for loss.
But just an incredible game. Awesome for them. The Pete Lembo era is off to an incredible start. I was, you know, me and you have talked a little bit about off air. Obviously, being a college football fan that I am, I like that he was seemingly bringing more juice. Like Maurice Lundquist, the last head coach, was a really good recruiter, but he was on the field that was really struggling. Where Lembo, they did like funny little videos when like players were reporting to camp and everything like that, and he's had a lot of you know, high energy personalities. Like anytime I've heard him speak, we talked to him as well right after he got hired, and just to see this start is really, really good, because you've seen when UB gets good head coaches in really any of their sports, they kind of outclass the MAC.
Yeah,
a lot of the time. I mean, you just have to go back to the basketball program where they had Bobby Hurley there for 2 years and they made their first NCAA tournament.
All I'm saying,
and then once it was Nate Oates, it was off to the races, how good they became. And now we'll see what happens there with both the men's and women's basketball programs. I know Becky Burke's doing a great job with the women's program. But for the men to start 3-0, great sign for things to come, hopefully, for Buffalo sports.
3-1.
What did I say?
3-0.
Yeah, 3-1. They obviously did
rank
lose to Missouri.
Rank them.
There we go.
Do it. Give them Northern Illinois' rank. 23.
But we, of course, are getting ready for Bills Monday Night Football against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a 7:30 kickoff. Our official pregame is going to start at 3 o'clock, but of course, we're going to be covered all day. But the Sabres also play today. And with that being said, coming up next, Sabres Live. You're listening to, One Bills Live is actually on today for 3 hours. So One Bills Live coming up next. This is WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.